Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. NBC has another big primetime crossover event coming up this week. And we've got the executive producers and showrunners here to explain just what you'll see on Chicago Fire, PD, and Law & Order SVU. Plus, Lisa Loeb is back with a new movie, a new soundtrack, and some cool stories about what got her here in the first place. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
One of the big successes of the television season for NBC has been the crossover event, usually involving the Chicago Fire and Chicago PD series, as well as mainstay Law & Order SVU. SVU executive producer Warren Light sat down with me to talk about the latest event. A pretty ambitious project this time, but one that really clicked.
This is actually, in a sense, of the third one. We've had glancing blows at these before. We wanted to make it more of an integrated crossover. You know, there's always the challenge of two separate shows, and I think Matt and I both like the idea of this is that Wednesday night is a two-hour event, and it even to the point where now we're starting in Chicago at 9 and going to SVU at 10. It's all of a piece. So we wanted to make sure we had a story that could legitimately sustain over three episodes and also that made sense geographically so that you didn't have the crime starting in with Chicago Fire, then going to New York at 9 o'clock, then going back to Chicago at 10. That's a little bit of a hopscotch for a criminal. Those were things we were thinking of. And then here at SVU, we've been kicking an idea around for a long time about a serial rapist murderer who, in the mode of a Ted Bundy kind of guy, incredibly charming, incredibly manipulative, able to get away with these crimes for a very, very long time across multiple jurisdictions. And when the idea of a crossover came up, Dick suggested I donate that idea to the crossover. It was going to be a two-parter for us. And then it became instead, I think, a good template. We knew we had enough for two episodes, whether they were two SVU episodes or, as it turned out, this crossover.
Chicago Fire and PD showrunner Matt Olmsted agrees with Warren that this time for things to work, the creative forces had to get together in one spot.
In terms of logistics, I think that we both learned from the first one, which we felt was successful, that it'd be good to kind of get in the same room. And so we both, Warren and I, kind of cleared our schedules, and I came up to New York, and we sat in the room for 2 days, which was really beneficial. Just I could give a little more background on certain characters, as could he, and we just had a concentrated 2 days to really break this. And when I left, we really had a handle on it, as opposed to, you know, separate coasts, and you put a message in a bottle and send it down the river and wait for one to come back.
The two shows are written 3,000 miles apart, so I really was grateful to Matt for coming to New York, because it's a lot easier in the room. And it does. It's like, I'm here for 2 days. Let's do this. It really works, I think.
The underlying vibes of all the shows involve the handling of the criminals, especially on Chicago PD with lead character Hank Voight. Almost the polar opposite of Mariska Hargitay's character on SVU.
That's a very astute observation. And the shows are different in that regard. And it did, Chicago PD, the DNA of it really did start from Voight, as you point out. And he came from Chicago Fire, obviously, where he was a dirty cop. And so we couldn't all of a sudden just whitewash that character. Excuse me. And he shows up on a new show with, you know, Dudley Do-Right. So it became trying to reconcile his past with where he wants to go. But also it became about looking into the Chicago of it all and not going, by no means having a crew of dirty cops or rogue cops, but there's a slight wish fulfillment into the Chicago of it all, where there's just certain corners that are cut, certain things that are overlooked in service of justice, so to speak. So it's a little bit more, less by the book. And so when the two shows come together, sometimes collide, Definitely there are different philosophies. And what I, one of the things I love about these crossovers is the interaction between Voight and Benson. And from our point of view, they're, strangely enough, cut from the same cloth in that they want justice more than anything. And they respect the other. They know they can't game the other. And there's, I think, a certain fondness and also a certain protectiveness, one for the other, especially Voight towards Benson. I think that it's reciprocated from her to him. And one of the things, and she knows how to wrangle him, because one of the things that comes up in this crossover is the case has a personal connection to her, and she lets it known to Voight that you can't do me one favor, you can't screw this up in case it ever goes to trial, and he accepts that. Maybe not normally what he would do, but he accepts that because she's important to him, the case is important to him, and he will defer as a colleague to her because she has the most hooks into this case. So absolutely something that we play in terms of different personalities, the different methodology between the two shows.
NBC's primetime crossover event begins on Tuesday with Chicago Fire at 8 o'clock Eastern Time and continues with an episode of Chicago PD at a special time, 9 on Wednesday, and then Law & Order SVU at 10 in the East. All on NBC, or if you miss them, catch up on NBC On Demand. Is the very latest in pop culture starting right now. It's barely spring, and in fact, there's still snow flurries in New York City, but D.C. is already planning ahead to the next holiday season with the announcement of a couple of new hardcover collections, one of which will be the Batman Dark Knight Returns Deluxe Edition containing all Frank Miller's Dark Knight stories in a 512-page volume that'll retail for just about $50. And then there's a 75th anniversary Green Lantern edition featuring stories from the 40s through the 60s into the 80s as well. That'll retail for about $40 and be about 400 pages. Both editions will be available to retailers in September. Former ER star Eric LaSalle is joining the cast of Under the Dome this summer on CBS. Last season, he directed an episode as well. He'll do that, too, as well as be part of the cast when the show premieres on the network coming up in June. The 2015 Eisner Award nominations are out, and at the top of the list, again, Fantagraphics with the most solo nominations, 15 in all. DC and Vertigo came in with 14, and Marvel had 12 nominations, although each of those publishers do share some of the titles with other publishers as it all comes down. Among those honored include for Best Continuing Series, Astro City, Bandit, Hawkeye, Saga, Southern Bastards, and The Walking Dead. And for Best New Series, The Fade Out, Lumberjanes, Ms. Marvel, Rocket Raccoon, and The Wicked and the Divine as well. Nominations out now, with the awards being given out in September at the Baltimore Comic Con. No big surprise that Netflix has renewed Daredevil for a second season. However, Stephen DeKnight will not be associated with the series due to a conflict in his schedule. Douglas Petrie from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Marco Ramirez from Orange is the New Black will head up the production team, with most of the original cast planned to come back for a second season. Speaking of renewals, the mega buzz hit Lip Sync Battle is being renewed by Spike TV. It is the most watched original series ever, with an average 3 million viewers. 20 new episodes will debut on the network in 2016. You win some, but you do lose some. Meanwhile, USA has pulled the plug on Sirens after two seasons. The show was produced by Dennis Leary and Bob Fisher.
The Point, The Point.
For singer, songwriter, and actress Lisa Loeb, her love affair with music began pretty early in life.
Music started for me in my life when I was born, or maybe in the womb. Music has always been a really big part of my life. But I started playing music when I was a little kid. I started playing piano, took piano lessons when I was in the low single digits. And then as I got a little bit older and went through high school, I decided to switch to start playing guitar. And I started... Probably when I was like 13, I started playing guitar and writing songs for guitar and lyrics. And that's just when it all started. I started playing in front of other people at school assemblies and When I went away to acting school in London, I would play in the dorm. People would ask me for recordings of my songs. So it just felt like something was happening there. Felt like I was able to communicate and connect with people in that way. And it was really exciting creatively. And also as a performer, it was exciting for people to want to listen.
Jump ahead to 1994, a movie called Reality Bites and a song called Stay. Lisa recalls the first time she heard it on the radio.
Oh, my gosh, it was amazing. You know, Stay came in 1994, which was a few years after I graduated from college. And I had had a band all through college, and we'd been played on, like, you know, like NPR type of stations or college radio stations with some of our original songs. But to hear Stay on pop radio, it was incredible. I don't remember if it was in Houston or in New York City, like around at Z100, because I was living in New York City at the time. Even though I grew up in Dallas, I heard it on the radio, and that with the compression, it's just this whole other huge world. And also contextually, it's hilarious because they were playing Mariah Carey and then me and then another huge pop band. And so it was funny being somebody who was a singer-songwriter who, you know, I had a really nice following in New York and was playing at clubs like CBGB's, but it was a whole other world to be played on the radio with these huge pop stars with that huge compression. It was very exciting.
Stay was unique for a number of reasons. It was pretty soon in the top 10 due to the movie and, of course, the video that was on MTV. But it was also the first time in music history, even to this day, where a recording artist had a song on the charts, but not a recording contract to go along with it.
Oh, it was completely unusual. I was sort of on the way. You know, I had graduated college. My friend and I had been playing at South by Southwest for years and some other music festivals that were what you do when you're an up-and-coming musician. I knew a lot of executive or, like, you know, young A&R people who were very interested. But then I had this amazing opportunity that Ethan Hawke, who's a friend of mine and also my neighbor at the time, he wanted to pass along the song Stay to the director of the movie Reality Bites, to Ben Stiller, because he thought it would fit really well in the movie. And Ethan's the kind of guy who's very interested in all aspects of what he's doing. He's really an artist, and he thought it would be a great idea. So he gave it to Ben Stiller. And through a series of events, they decided to put the song into the movie and use it in its entirety at the end of the movie over the end title sequence, which was amazing. And later, Ethan was allowed to make a video for the song, which was really cool. It was a great concept. It was a one-take video, no edits at all. So it was like so many great things were connected to it. You know, here I was, somebody who seemed to be coming out of nowhere, although I knew I was coming out of somewhere, an actor who everybody knows directing the video. And then even if it weren't for Ethan who directed it, he had such a great concept just as a video director doing this one take that it, all these stories just all came together to tell the story, and people really ended up connecting to the song.
So here we are today with Lisa's newest project, a movie just hitting theaters called Helicopter Mom.
The movie Helicopter Mom is a film that comes out this week. It's directed by Salome Bresner and stars Nia Vardalos. And you might know her from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, which she was the star of, and I believe she wrote it as well. It's about a helicopter mom, which is a mom who hovers over her children. She has a son who's played by Jason Dolley, who's a star of a Disney show, Good Luck Charlie. And this is his first sort of adult role where he plays like a grown-up teenage kid. And his mom really wants to get him to go into college, and some shenanigans ensue, and you have to see it. But it takes place mostly around a high school, and it's about the parents and about the kid. And I was lucky; I got to play a teacher in the movie. I've done acting throughout my life, and so I got to play a small role as a teacher, who's one of the grounding forces in the movie, because the mom that Nia plays is very over the top and almost sometimes more like the kid. And then I also got to write the title theme for it, which is such a great, I love writing music for movies.
There's a lot going on with Lisa's career right now, but you can pretty much track it all in one place.
Yeah, you can find out about my eyewear line, my kids foundation, the kids send kids to summer camp, new music, touring, all that stuff through lisaloeb.com or on any of my Lisa Loeb Twitter. It's L-O-E-B. I'm at Twitter and Facebook and all the regular places. You can communicate with me directly. And also check out the new song from Helicopter Mom called 321 Let Go. It's only available through lisaloeb.com.
321 Let Go. Somewhere deep inside, I know you hit my love.
That's a song you can grab right now at lisaloeb.com. It's from the movie Helicopter Mom, available in theaters right now. That does it for the podcast, but we're back in a few days, and this time we'll give you a voice to go along with a pretty familiar face. From The Dark Knight to Forever to Turn, Vern Gorman talks about character acting and how he gets all the really cool roles. You'll find that and more coming up on websites like ComicMix.com, MichaelDavisWorld.com, GetThePointRadio.com, and in the iTunes podcast directory where you can always subscribe to us. You can follow us, too, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram under The Point Radio. See you back here in a few days. Get the-